Sorry, Carrie, we can't hear you. I heard a bit of a whisper for a second.
Looks like Carrie's muted.
Carrie says she's having some mic issues.
Grab an extra cup of coffee or tea, everyone.
I could play some elevator music. we don't really need to stand on ceremony. People could just discuss the agenda or any other group business they want feedback on during these 5 minutes. If no one wants to ask for a PR review or anything, I'm just going to ask Dimitri to talk about his refresh stuff.
Oh, awesome. Is that on the agenda? I forget.
I don't even remember what's on the agenda. We just have spare time. We're all in the room.
You're just right. Being put on the spot, Dimitri.
Right. No, that's totally okay. At very least, let's at least refresh people's memory on it, because it's relevant to a lot of our educational data models. So what I suspect Juan is talking about is, there's a proposal in the form of an issue on the verifiable credential data model, which is going to be discussed and processed as part of the 2.0 version of the VC spec, and it has to do with a way to bind credentials together, except this is, we're used to binding credentials together, for example, in a verifiable presentation, or in some cases, in nesting multiple credentials inside of an outer credential. And so this provides a third mechanism. This provides a way to bind external resources, such as PDFs, images, and so on, or other external unrelated verifiable credentials. So it essentially, it extends the cryptographic binding of a signature onto other resources. Go ahead.
Dimitri, this is pertinent to the presentation that I was going to give, because your example is one of the examples I'm using for how an endorsement credential might be connected to another VC about an issued achievement or skill.
Oh, fantastic.
So, I'm not sure whether we want to launch into that, because that, I've got some slides that Carrie had asked me to present today around that topic. And the first part of it was sort of a justification for sort of the design principles around what an endorsement credential should support. And then the second were a couple of examples of, in my own horribly amateur way, the way in which it could be approached. The first being, we're
hey,
already
Bill.
Working. Oh, you're there.
Oh, Carrie.
I am here, yes. I didn't want to interrupt you. But can we just pause and I'll do all the boilerplate stuff and then we'll get going on that?
Dimitri, I'll call you when I get to that section there, because you're better explaining it than I did, and I may have screwed up the JSON that to try to put it into the example context that I was using, and you can correct me.
No worries. No, please. Go ahead.
Great. Thank you all. And I'm so sorry about that. That has never happened to me before in all of these meetings. But great. Here we are. So I'm going to get started with the boilerplate, and then we'll get back to these discussions. So thank you for your patience. Okay, so IP note, anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work item must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreements signed. I'm going to put a link to how to join in the chat there. I must ensure that you have a W3 account. I'll put a link to that in the chat as well. And also have agreed to the W3C community contributor license agreement. Put that in the chat too. Okay, so these minutes and audio recording of everything said in this call are archived here at this link. And we use chat or IRC to cue speakers during the call and as well to take minutes. So if you'd like to be added to the queue, please type Q+. And if you'd like to remove yourself, you can just type Q-, just like I have in the chat there. Okay, before we get started, let's do a scribe selection. Is there someone on the call today who would be willing to scribe for us? Even if you've never done this before, you're welcome to do it. It does not have to be word for word. It can just be sort of a summary of the discussion as it's going on. This is to help people who can't join us today, and you know, they can scan through the meeting notes and know what's going on.
I'll scribe.
Thank you, Molly. You put that in the chat. Okay. Okay, let's see, introductions and reintroductions. Is there anyone on the call today who hasn't joined us before who'd like to introduce themselves?
Hey, Carrie. This is Timothy Summers from Pocket and ASU. I am just finished getting married and came and joined.
Congratulations.
Thanks. So just saying hello. And my partner in crime, John Quo, has been joining the sessions as well. So just saying hello to everyone.
Thank you, Timothy. It's great to see you here.
Thanks, Carrie.
Sure. Any other introductions or anyone who is doing anything right now that would like to maybe give us an update, do a reintroduction?
Hi, everyone. My name is Jessica Chung. I'm a new fellow at the U.S. Department of Education, working at the Office of Educational Technology. Happy to be here and excited to learn more about the work you all are doing.
Excellent, Jessica. Thank you. Welcome to the meeting and the call. Great to have you here.
Hi, this is Jim Kelly. I haven't attended in a while, and so I thought I would come back on and get caught up. So I'm
awesome.
I work with the California Community Colleges.
That's great, Jim. Thanks. Glad you're here too. Anyone else? Okay. So some announcements and reminders. So a reminder that we do have a mailing list that is dedicated to BCEDU work. You can join here. I'm going to put this in the chat. Please do. This is where we can have lots of discussions that are related specifically to using verifiable credentials in education and training and achievements. Tomorrow's CCG call topic is actually about BCEDU. So I'm going to be presenting what we're working on as well as, what we've been discussing in use cases and also questions that have come up, that are specific to EDU that we may, want to ask the broader community about. So this link in the chat is on the agenda so that you know how to get there in case you don't typically join that call. Okay. That is tomorrow at noon Eastern. And then lastly, next week is going to be our last meeting for this year. And then we're going to pick up again on January 3rd. Just want everyone to know that. I'll put notes somewhere, but just make sure you know that next week is it. Okay, that's it for the boilerplate and announcement stuff. So first, I just want to say thank you to everyone who has been voting for the co-chairs. We had a very successful election. And I want to thank our candidates who presented, their best selves forward and presented exactly, what they can do. So we have our results today. And our new chairs, I'm happy to announce, is Dimitri Zagadoulin and Simone Rabeole. Congratulations, you guys. And Dimitri, am I saying your last name right? Or did I just butcher it?
Oh, you are, absolutely. Also, yay!
Yes, congratulations. And thank you also to Colin and Frank. Really glad you entered the election as well. And, we're going to love your ongoing contributions. For sure. I'm going to put a link in the chat here so you can see the results if you'd like. And Dimitri and Simone and I, we're going to find a time to meet up. And then we're going to do some planning. And in the new year, we will go forth with that plan. So looking forward to it, guys. All right, now, here we are. Phil Long. Phil Long is going to lead us in a discussion about single assertion endorsement credentials, use cases, and some potential approaches that he's been looking at. This has been a pretty active topic across the board of the standards orgs in education. And Phil's really taking this approach where he's thinking about connecting all of this work together. Like, how is this going to be connected so that we can all agree upon what would be the best way to approach this? So Phil, can I hand this over to you now? Are you ready?
Yeah, sure. I'm ready. And let me just try to see if I can share my screen here.
Phil, I'll keep an eye on the queue for you, okay? I'll let you know if anything is coming up.
Except it's telling me that the allow is grayed out. Is that something I have to authorize somewhere else or?
Maybe. If you want to send me your slides.
Oh, wait. Hold on a second. Let me see. I think if I find the right one is for now.
So if you'd like, you can put the slides in a link to the slides in the chat and I could share them for you. If that would help.
Yeah, let me just try one more thing and see if this works.
Okay.
Because I can see a bunch of things that I should be. Well, cancel that out. Let me see if I. I can't get rid of the bloody choice. All right, I'll send you the link to the slides, and maybe you can share them.
Sure. You just put it in the chat if you'd like. other than others can access them too. Anyway, that'll be great.
Right. Okay. And I'll go to chat here. Link to my slides. And see what, oh, wait a minute. I have to, yeah, that should be available to everyone.
Yep, I got it.
All right. Can you present them, Sherry?
I can. Sherry? Sure. Yes, I got it.
I need a Sherry. All right. We're on endorsement credentials. Okay. Excellent.
Yeah, bear with me. Sorry. I have a, wow, we are just full of tech stuff this morning. Cause I'm using a different browser. I'm having trouble sharing. Let me share it from the other one. Goodness. It's been that kind of a Monday already. Sorry, y'all. Hold on.
Is that working for you? I don't see
it. It will work for me. Yeah, I haven't done it yet. Hold on 1 second.
Although I may not be able to see them because I'm stuck on the allow it to see my screen slide.
That was me. Sorry. All right, Phil, maybe you should get going and I will work on this while you're talking.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thanks. All right. So if that's the case, so the intention here is to talk about how one might go about thinking about endorsements in the VC world. And the rationale is pretty obvious to everyone. I think that don't have to go into too much detail. We need the ability to be able to extend this notion of personal trust through single assertion credentials to be able to give some additional reputation to the endorsee, to have the justification or context for the endorser so that the person's looking at it can judge whether or not they think that endorsement is from someone with credibility, to allow this to work also in the self-issued case from an individual's personal wallet. So they're essentially creating or issuing a credential about something they've learned on the job or some other location other than from something that was issued to them, and have that be endorsed in a similar fashion. And I approach this from the perspective first of thinking about what are the design principles that whatever this method is needs to be able to support. And a couple of them that come to mind have to do with this recognition that most, and this is borrowed from Adrian Groper, actually, most physical identity transactions are transient and quickly forgotten in the real world, whereas they're permanent when it's on the web, and even more so when it is something that is a signed document on the web. And secondly, that in the real world, these kinds of physical interactions degrade over time and need to be reinstated or retransmitted, if you will. In the digital world, these are perfectly preserved forever, both in storage and retransmission. And the bottom line of this is endorsements are contextual and transient. Another principle is clearly that the endorsement needs to be something the holder or the endorsee accepts, and not an unsolicited endorsement or something that has a double entendre that is not necessarily useful to the endorsee. That the endorsing credential itself needs to convey the bona fides of the endorser so that there's context made available to them, to any third party, so they can make a judgment about the credibility of that particular endorser. Relevant to the notion of transience and context it seems to me that most times you want to have an endorsement that is either with an expiry or a time to live quality to it, because an endorsement made 20 years ago probably is not relevant 30 years hence or 20 years hence. And therefore, this should be, in fact, something that has to be reconsidered periodically or simply goes away after a period of time. Lastly, there are two other things that are relevant. One is that the endorser should have the ability to include additional evidence that they may have about their engagement with the endorsee that adds additional information about the quality and or capabilities of the person they're endorsing from their own perspective. And lastly, we want these to be linked, the endorsement itself linked to whatever it is the person is endorsing about the individual, that in a way that is unambiguous and tamper evident, so that the endorsement is not something that is in any way continually being modified or updated in the future without that evidence. Okay. And first of all, at those design principles, I don't know if we're able to share the slides now. Oh, we are. Good. We're sharing slides. Wonderful.
Am I on the right slide, Phil?
Go down to the next slide. Okay. So that was the first part of transience and degradation, where I summarized that at the bottom with this is contextual and transient. Next slide. And this is the additional design parameters. So I want to stop here and ask for people's feedback on as to whether or not there are other things that should be considered as critical to a quality that endorsement needs to be able to convey in this process. Is there something I've missed, or does someone disagree with any of the design principles that I've listed? Feel free to put yourself on the list or just speak up. I'll take this as absolute unambiguous endorsement.
Yeah, there's no one in the queue right now. Nope.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Next slide. So I'm pleased to say that the T3 Innovation Network has received some Gates funding. And one of the elements of the Gates funding was specifically set aside to pursue more about single assertion credentials for endorsement. And so the idea behind that was to simply provide a little bit of resource to gather some additional information through interviews and other outreach methods to make sure that there were not design criteria that needed to be added or that we have overlooked. And the second part was, where possible, to potentially outline what an endorsement credential might look like and put that together in some sort of a form that could be used for pilot testing. And so with that, what you see is a little short rationale statement that was used in the proposal to Gates, which was a much larger proposal for several things that the T3 Innovation Network and its multiple, or in this case four specifically, individual networks are pursuing. I came up with sort of three possible approaches from a technical perspective. The first is simply where there's work going on in OBV3 from IMS Global, moving the OBV2.x design or model forward into something that would be a full-fledged verifiable credential payload in that ecosystem. And in version 2.1 or 2.x of the open badge, there is an endorsement description. And so one approach is simply to carry that forward into whatever we go beyond that. And you see in this particular slide, that is the section. That's fine. You can go. This is the section from the 2.2.x approach that would potentially represent what an endorsement might look like. Now, apologies. I'm not an expert Java person, or excuse me, JSON person. So I may have mess some things up here, but this was the general idea of carrying forward the OBV2 approach to this into an OBV3 context. You can go back one slide. The second and third approaches as the one that Dimitri was going to talk about, number two, and that is the notion of using dead linking.
I'm going to interrupt you, Phil. We have somebody in the queue with a question, so I think we
should
do that first before we move on to the next one. I'm going to say your name wrong. I'm sorry. Is it Coyote?
Coyote.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, just really quickly. I just want to say this is great work, Phil, and I wanted to ask you because it's coincidental because just this past Friday, I was just thinking to myself about the idea of endorsements and how do we extend them into the space of verified credentials. And it just came out as I was thinking about, you know, for example, LinkedIn endorsements and, you know, how can that sort of be extended to, you know, to be leveraged in this space. I think one thing that I wonder if you've thought about, and maybe you're going to touch on it later, is how do you think about the verification of the endorsement credentials? Do we have an assumption here that the issuers of the endorsements would be folks that they would be expected to be hosting servers, for example, you know, something like a VC API or something, instance, or how do you sort of think about the verifying the credentials that we get from these endorsements?
That's a great question, and there's a couple of parts to that, I think. One is, how does one think about it in terms of issued credentials from some third party to an individual wallet holder and making an endorsement of that versus a self-asserted credential by the wallet holder and an endorsement to that? And secondly, the process. This seems to me to be one in which either this is something that could be added in as a service within a wallet and create a mechanism by which a VC associated with endorsement or this binding process that we'll be describing in a minute. Hopefully Dimitri will jump in at that point, might work. But the verification, I mean, I'm trying to keep this as closely hewn to the general verifiable credential model where the endorser creates a VC that they sign and makes available to either the holder themselves directly or to a third party location that the holder then can point to. I'm not sure if that answered entirely your question, but that's the extent to which I've been thinking about that.
Got it. Okay. That helps a lot. Thanks.
Sure. So the other two approaches is this approach that Dimitri has described, which is, as I understand it, Dimitri is essentially connecting together a pair of DIDs in a relationship, and that the endorsement is really of that relationship. And I have an example in this two slides hence. If you would go forward two slides, Carrie.
I'm actually ask you to call on Adrian though before we move forward.
Oh, sorry.
He has a question.
Sure.
No problem. Adrian. I just wanted to let you know.
Yes, a quick question related to the one just before. There are two kinds of endorsements that you covered originally. Endorsements related to the identity of the subject, and then endorsements, as was just asked, related to the validity of the claim. And I'm in the real world, we have this idea of notaries, right, that just endorse the identity part,
right.
And maybe, but not the veracity of the document or the contract itself.
Correct.
And I'm wondering if this is necessary in the educational sense, or if you always want to combine the two into a single verification type of thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Adrian. And that's I think that's a good question. And I guess I have started from the perspective that an individual is going to be accruing these kinds of issued credentials for various skills and achievements and abilities over a lifetime. And that parsimony from my perspective would be to make sure that those endorsements of both identity and the actual topic of the endorsement itself, were kept together. Because it seems to me that over time, it's likely that those two things could go off in directions and would be, from a parsimony perspective, would be better simply kept together for each individual example of it. But I'm open to alternative ways of addressing that if others suggest or have, or you have, compelling reasons why that separation should be maintained.
Well, just the only reason to separate them is a matter of cost. The cost of getting a notary to only verify identity is often zero. The cost of verification to create a badge or an endorsement is much more significant, and that would be the only reason I can think of. Thank you.
Right. No, and I happen to like the notion of leveraging, and I have been thinking of notaries in a slightly, well, maybe it's a similar context, as a mechanism for making the creation of DIDs for people an easier process. Because it seemed to me like, as you've alluded, at least in the U.S., and it's not necessarily the case in all other countries, but in the U.S. there's usually a notary public associated with, for example, county or public libraries. And they're typically available at little or no cost. And they do, as you described, verify identity. And so I had been thinking of the use of libraries as a DID generation service for individuals and simplifying that process for a community. But I hadn't thought of it beyond that. So moving this forward, let's look at the DID linking approach. And Dimitri, I'd be pleased to see, to have you jump in here and describe what you were thinking and see whether or not anything that I've put together here is even remotely similar to what you were thinking.
Sounds great. I'm standing by. Go ahead.
Take it from here.
Okay.
So I have the JSON there, but I sort of.
Wait. So I'm not seeing,
you're not seeing
it on the slide. Okay. Here we go. All right. Now we're seeing it. Yep.
Okay.
All right. So let me. Right. Okay. Okay. So this is an example of the use of multiple signatures. Right. So various signature methods, such as, Jose, which is JSON web encryption, JSON web signing, and the VC data model allow for not just one signature, providing content integrity and a verification method, but multiple signatures. And one of the things that implementers always ask themselves is, do I want to do multiple signatures, and what should the semantics be? What does it mean that two people signed the VC? If it's an educational credential and it's issued and signed by a university, what does it mean that another party signs it? Does that mean it's I verified it? Does it mean that it's an endorsement? Right? It's unclear because the signature is there and it's valid, but exactly what the other party implied by the signature in that proof too here on the slide is mm-hmm. unclear. So you're absolutely right that this is a valid method. How do we do endorsements? We have a verifiable credential, and all the endorsees can sign the credential, right? Definitely a valid approach. The downside to it is that the proof methods typically don't – they contain the purpose of the proof in the sense of – in the low-level mechanical sense that this is signed by a key that is intended to sign verifiable credentials versus this is signed by a key that is intended to sign authorizations and so on, right? So it has, the signatures have proof purpose in the low level sense, but they don't typically have the purpose of the signature in the higher level application specific sense that I'm signing this as an evidence of an endorsement, or I'm signing this as an evidence that I verified this claim, right? I'm some sort of third party publisher, and I rang up the university and I double checked that the student, actually goes there. So I'm going to sign it as an endorsement. So that's the downside to that option. And my personal, suspicion is that it's too implicit. It might be always better to instead issue an explicit credential that says this credential is an endorsement of that one, or this is a credential is a third party verification of that one, which leads to that method number three. So does anybody have questions about this method number two and multiple signatures?
We have Adrian in the queue, and I believe that was followed. Excuse me. We have before Adrian. Who was before Adrian?
Well, Adrian's in the queue right now, so why don't we start there?
Oh, David Chadwick, I think was. No, maybe not. Oh. It's just Adrian. Just Adrian.
So, Dimitri, there's an issue of the liability that's closely related to your point about the intent of the signature, meaning that the endorser is typically expected to keep a log to protect themselves for adding their signature in that sense to the credential. And I'm curious, in other words, how far you think we want to go, either of you, of course, anybody, how far we want to go down this rabbit hole of dealing with logs and the kind of logs, for instance, that a notary keeps that are not necessarily public in order to deal with the liability associated with the purpose as you described it. Thanks.
Dimitri, if I can jump in for just a second. That's a great question, Adrian. I've actually got an open inquiry to a couple of law firms around this very question about the liability associated with an endorsement of this type or any other type, frankly. What are the options or the ways in which liability can be limited and still convey meaning in the context of an endorsement of an individual's knowledge, skills, and abilities? And I hope to report back to this group and others what the initial findings for that legal interpretation of an endorsement in the context of liability might open for us. So I just wanted to point out that there is an investigation underway there. Dimitri?
Thanks, Phil. And please do report. This sounds really interesting and really relevant to this group. Adrian, that's a very good point. And I'm going to focus on the engineering part of it. For your question to mean, do we know enough of the use case? Have we seen enough to be able to standardize a way to do an issuance log or a signature log? And this is actually something we're also currently wrestling with in DCC, the Digital Credentials Consortium, in the Waller Project, because several universities would like or require a issuance log. So in addition to the decentralized identity infrastructure, the VC infrastructure, they would like it to be recorded that an issuer has issued something for internal audit purposes to make sure their keys weren't stolen or something like that. Which is also somewhat related to the question Adrian mentioned of some notaries will likely need an audit log of what they're doing. So I haven't seen any standardizations of that mechanism. I suspect as a community, we will need to standardize it at some point. I'm not sure if the use case of the notary and the use case of a university are similar enough for it to be generalizable, but I guess we'll see.
It's also relevant, in a sense, to the proposal that's been placed forward by Manu and Dave Longley, associated with status lists, referencing a credential. I mean, one could imagine that a status list is not just, is it valid or not valid, but rather a status list of endorsements that an individual issuer or you know, sorted by however the appropriate use case or value would be most helpful in terms of either by individual or by type subject of the credential in terms of an achievement or a skill or what have you. But there has been, as and I'll put it in the chat, you will probably all aware of this anyway, but I was wondering whether or not this status list notion is relevant. And there's the URL in the chat.
It could be. So the status list is just another way of linking to, like you said, a status document. And we could either introduce a new link that, okay, that's a status document and this is an audit log, or we could combine the concept. I'm just not sure we know enough of the use case yet. So let's come back to it.
We'll come back to it.
Great question. But let's come back to the base topic of linking various VCs.
Right. Well, so this was a second approach, and I was recognizing in the way in which it was described, both by you, Dimitri, and the issue that you put forward, that this was kind of semantic free,
right?
In the sense that it doesn't really tell you what about the credential or the individual or the skill that it is being endorsed. It's not parsing any particular part of it that you're making the connection to, et cetera. So the third approach was really an attempt to do something a little bit more specific. And as it turns out, at least two are potential and worth considering. If we can go down, this is the, so I started off just so you see where I came from. Manu Sporny had put forward this notion of hash-linked connections between credentials, and his brief description of that was really focused on how to create the hash link in a way that would serialize properly, et cetera. And he wasn't really thinking about the things that you were hash linking among or between. But others have. And so I'd like to ask if Marty Reed, who has been doing something kind of like this with respect to endorsements for teacher credentials, might take the mic for a second.
Marty? And do we want to advance to the next slide?
Oh, we're on the, at least I'm on slide 3. I don't know about you. It says number 3, hash link.
Okay, I need to reconnect. My slides aren't updating for some reason.
Are others having a slide updating problem as well?
I think I see the third one.
Okay, thank you. So, Marty, can you set aside scribing for a second and describe what you have been doing for the teaching world?
Yes.
Try and scribe for Marty.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. So I just want to preface this with, this is 4-year-old tech, this was originally designed around utilizing smart contract and hashed storage. So the idea being that you can create those VCs, store them in some kind of hashed storage, and then be able to reconnect them on the user side. So here you have the signing address, which is the system authorized as the issuer. The destination address is actually the contract. And then the contract then interprets the message and embeds hashes the data and stores it on some kind of storage, for this example, IPFS. And then you have your portfolio address that is then your wallet destination, and then your transaction ID, which is what, you know, your chain reference. So, but the idea is you can really package as many VCs independently signed as you want in that data, and then you have the single reference signed message as your kind of retrieval mechanism from that storage.
So to contextualize it in the context of VC endorsement, you could create a single issue VC that is describing where the endorser is giving some background about themselves, which might include evidence in the sense of independently derive corroboration from their perspective of the skill or achievement that the endorsee has claimed or has been issued a claim about, and then put it in this example an IPFS location that the individual wallet holder could point to when they package together a presentation, a verifiable presentation for themselves.
Right. And so just to be more specific about it, it, this allows them to then store an endorsement signed by the EdPrep program, their license issued by a state, and then also their transcript, which may or may not be issued by the EdPrep program. It may be issued by the university. So it allows them to package those three independent signature signed objects into a single signed object that you can retrieve as a verifier. So you kind of work around a number of the constraints with the multiple signature problem. So hopefully that's
right. It's relevant to the previous method, which was only specific by association. Right. It did not actually point to any particular attribute of any of the verifiable credentials that an individual holder might assemble as part of a presentation. It didn't actually call out any particular direct one-on-one connection between an element in one of those and the endorsement.
Yeah, it's the beauty of using the hash model is that the VC, you know, if the hash is affected or changed at some point from a storage reference tampered with, then your VC is broken at multiple layers so that you have that kind of multi-layer protection.
Right. Excellent. Okay. So this leads then to a second example. We only have a short while left, but John Kao from ASU had slacked me before this presentation or during this presentation saying that they were doing something similar to this with Pocket. And therefore, what would you like to do? John, would you like to take over the presentation and do it yourself for example that you have to give?
No, I mean, I was just like letting you know that we are in the middle of implementing an endorsement credential issuance flow.
I'm going to describe that.
I'm going to describe it real briefly here and kind of slowly so that the scriber can keep up. So we have an advantage in we're working within a relatively closed system. Our goal is to be able to collect endorsements for self-issued credentials of two types. One type is a skill credential. The other is what we call a portfolio credential, which has an asset affiliated with it, which has a separate complex storage mechanism. But in other words, to have an endorsement saying that this represents my work. So these are both the self-issued credential use case. And what we would do is it would be also a request for an endorsement to a specific identity. Those identities at the moment would be limited to an instructor of a class that you've taken. So you've already got a connection to them. And then once that request is made, they can choose to issue it or not. The request could also be for a standalone endorsement. An example would be a letter of reference. So not linked to anything specific, but just linked to your identity. But for the ones that are linked to another credential, self-issue credential, the flow would be they would receive the request. They would be able to review the credential. And of course, since it's self-issued, once it's issued, it's locked and impermeable, immutable. And then credential endorser would sign the credential and then issue it from their identity, but on the behalf of the institutional server, as we are limiting, again, the role of the endorser to an instructor who is connected to a specific institution. So that way we're covering all of our bases.
Well, that would be analogous to an employer and employees within that company.
Yeah, okay. An exact analogous can be done for a professional organization. This is just for higher ed. And then, of course, you could collect an endorsement. Oh, another type of credential would just be not the portfolio, but just a single asset itself. The portfolio is offered because you may not want to issue 6 endorsements to a collection of self-issued assets. You may want to just issue it to the whole collection of them, which is the portfolio credential. So, and you can collect multiple endorsements for the same credential, but each endorsement credential is signed by a single individual identity.
Okay, thank you. So we've covered quite a range here, and I'll just end by saying there are lots of more questions than clear answers in this conversation. So I would request anybody who is interested in the pursuit of this, we are going to be addressing this from the T3 Innovation Network's Learning and Employment Record Network community. That role of that organization in that particular network is not to issue a standard or a data model. It is really more around the design principles that are associated with it, and then to collaborate to make with those who are more adept and appropriate to do the data models that can be used to implement those principles. So I just wanted to make that clear. But if you have that interest, please contact me, and I'll be happy to bring you into the conversation that proceeds. Carrie?
Hey, Phil. Dimitri's in the queue.
Dimitri.
Thanks, Carrie. I just wanted to also drop a link to an alternative version of this method, number 3. That's a proposal to the VC working group, and that's issue 381 that uses a content hash in a general way, not based on a 831, not 381. That uses a general purpose content hash mechanism, not tied to a particular chain or smart contract. So definitely, this is definitely an important topic, and I hope this group can come back to it at some point.
I was going to mention that is actually what Pocket is intending on doing, actually both a hash and a UUID. The UID is just to simplify any front-end experience, and then the hash is to prevent, to essentially do dual verification of the credential.
Right.
Makes sense. Thanks.
Great. We have 1 minute left, but I see a question in the queue from Deb, and we try to address it real quick here. From Deb Everhart, it says, would portfolio use case be similar to endorsing a verified presentation?
Yes. I mean, that's what we're thinking.
Yeah, I agree.
Excellent. Let's definitely get back to this topic in the new year. We're reaching time now. Thank you all for your patience with all the tech issues at the beginning. And Phil, thank you for getting us going in this discussion and all of that. So have a good week, everyone. We'll see you out there. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
My apologies for the quality of scribing.
You did great. Thank you very much for doing that.
Trying to kick out content. All right. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.